Good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Raglan Community Radio, 98.1 FM, and also going over to our friends, Free FM on 89.0, coming out of Kirikirirua, going throughout the Waikato, and I hope you're enjoying yourselves out there today. Beautiful day here in Whangaroa. And on the show in a little while, we will be having a look at the avian influenza or bird flu, which has broken out, of course, in the South Island. It's been coming a while, so we'll have a look and cover that off. And before that, we'll do some weather and some gardening throughs, public service announcements, things like that. We'll come back with the weather after this one here by Sarah Hull, doing a live cover of Tessa Fair's Mad World.
Dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had.
That was Sierra Hull there doing a cover of Mad World, beautiful viola, viola solo. That's what I'm trying to say, wasn't it, folks? And weather! Well, it's another hot day, it certainly is. A number of eastern regions, it's even hotter than it is over here in the west of the North Island. As the west and northwest winds continue with subtropical connections for some. Yeah, it kind of feels that way, right, doesn't it? There's high pressure parked over the north in Auckland. It's going to bring dry or mostly dry weather to most of the North Island and much of the South Island, but rain showers are increasing on the west coast down south. Heavy falls developing in the south tonight and heading north tomorrow. The winds are lighter for many places today, but still blustery nor'westers around the capital and Cook Strait, and windier west to northwest winds around parts of Southland, Otago and South Canterbury. It's going to be even hotter inland than it is on the coast out here and north and east of both main islands with highs between 23 and 33 degrees for many today. Crikey. Today is warmer than average for most regions. Tomorrow is going to be southwest winds that cover the nation and it's going to be quite blowy, quite windy sort of day. And there's going to be southern showers on both main islands and cooler in the South Island and western New Zealand, but still hot in the eastern North Island. And yeah, there. Really hot and dry over there. Our friends over in Hawke's Bay, we're thinking of you. I've seen some pictures of the paddocks and that. Yeah, it's not looking great over there. Friday, Saturday, the high pressure moves closer to Aotearoa with a west to southwest flow. But short-lived with likely storm south of the South Island on Sunday, Monday driving in yet another burst of wind and rain over the South Island from the west and keeping many eastern areas mild to hot and windier at times. Heavy rain and strong wind warnings are possible Sunday, Monday, and possibly even some snow far out in the southern ranges on Monday. Pretty springy, isn't it, folks? And looking at the maps here, there's a bit of a high and to the north and to the east and to the west also of Aotearoa. So what can we expect here in the Waikato for the week coming up? You can expect it to be a peak of 23 degrees today, 21 degrees tomorrow, 20 degrees Friday, Saturday, and 21, 22, 20 for the rest of the week. Sunny with clouds today and showers tomorrow. Going to be blowy Friday, cloudy again, and then maybe some showers Monday they're expecting. Nighttime temperatures, 17 tonight, then 15 tomorrow, 14, then 18 Sunday, far out. Then 13, 14 again for the rest of the week after that. And the winds are pretty usually at the same sort of quarter here. West westerlies today, westerlies tomorrow, south westerlies, west south westerlies, north westerlies, westerlies, south westerlies, south westerlies. So, yeah, you get the drift of that. 70% chance of rain on both Thursday and Monday. And the humidity is either 80% or, depending where you look, of course, 80% or 72%. And the sun rose this morning at 5:53 and will set at 8:30 this evening. And the length of visible light is 15 hours and 38 minutes. Actual day length is 14 hours and 37 minutes. And tomorrow will be 1 minute and 1 second longer than it is today. The beautiful moon will be rising at 7:45 this morning and will set at 11:27 p.m. I did see it early yesterday evening hanging over Kariwa, just a little slither on its back there. 13% illuminated this evening, coming up to a waning crescent moon on the 9th of December, a few days away, today being the 4th of December. All right, so that's some weather for you. Now I'm going to play a request. First of the requests for today, and this one goes out to Nick. This is Flowers for Zoe by Lenny Kravitz.
Thank you.
Lenny Kravitz there with Flowers for Zoe. And now we're going to do some public service announcements here on the Over the Fence show. And currently on, I'll give the old school, Raglan Old School Arts Centre a shout out. They're currently doing their annual fundraising exhibition sale featuring beautiful gifts and ornaments all made by local artists and artisans. And that's, of course, 5 Stewart Street at the Old School Arts Centre. Happening up there at the Community House. Mike and Suss and the team up there. Just the pieces will be there from 1 to 1:30 today if you need some paperwork signed or whatever, along with the other services and things they offer up there. And also, Steve Rickard from Taitoko Tane is in his usual spot outside the iHub Museum down on Wainui Road. So if you're a male and you want to go down there and have a chat about whatever's up going on for you, you just go down there, and if Steve Rickard is not there, he will be there. Yeah, if he goes up the road for coffee, we'll be back in a minute. So go have a talk to Steve Rickard if that's what you want to do. Taitoko Tane down there outside the iHub in Wainui Road. And also, right next door here from the Raglan Community Radio HQ in the front of the town hall in the supper room is the Community Board Hui for the month, and that's in the supper room. That's going to be at 1:30. There's people in there already getting organised before I came to here. So Community Board Hui is going to be starting in about half an hour. So if you want to hear what the community board's up to and have your say on things, an excellent place to do it is at the Community Board Hui. And I'll come back to some gardening to do's very shortly after this song. Then I'm going to play for you by Lawrence Arabia called The Developed World. There with The Developed World, and it's getting to do times here now on the Over the Fence show. And December already, isn't it, folks? Yes, and it's a time to sow your amaranth or love's life beating or asparagus pea seeds. Plant out your basil So your seeds for your climbing and dwarf beans, your beetroot, your borage, your burdock, your Cape gooseberry plant out, your capsicum. So your seeds for your carrots. Plant out your celeriac celery. Sow your seeds for your chili peppers and chives. Plant your choco tubers and sow your seeds for your coriander and cucumber. Plant out your eggplant and French tarragon. Sow your seeds for your kohlrabi. Plant out your leeks. Sow your seeds for your lettuce. Plant out your loofahs and your marrows and sow your seeds for your mustard greens. Plant out your New Zealand spinach and your okra. Sow your seeds for your oregano, your parsley, your parsnip, your pumpkins and your radishes. Plant out your rock melons. Sow your seeds for your sage and salsify. Plant out your silver beet and your squash. And sow your seeds for your sunflowers and sweet corn. Plant out your sweet marjoram and tomatillo and your tomatoes. Sow your seeds for your turnips. Plant out your watermelons and you can start your zucchinis or courgettes or marrows. Or summer squash. Same. All in the seed trays. There's going to be a couple of double ups here, but I'll whip through them anyway. And these ones are at least some basil, beans, beetroot, blueberries, capsicums, carrots, celery, chilies, chrysanthemums, coriander, cosmos, courgettes, cucumber, daisy, delphinium, dianthus, eggplants, fuchsias, guibera, impatiens, kumara, lavender, lettuce, marigold, mesculine, parsley, parsnip, passion fruit, petunia, pumpkin squash, radish, silver beet, spring onion, sweet corn, and tomatoes. Busy time in the garden, isn't it, folks? So there we are. There's some gardening to do's here on the Over the Fence show. Now I'm going to play a request for Mike up the Community House. This is the Tall Dwarfs with their song Turning Brown and Torn in Two.
All right, Jim, what's the problem?
Showing up the strength we lacked, closing up the way we act. Photos of women have treated us sex, turning brown and torn in two. Coffee stains his letter too. Who it is I have no clue. So many races with blithely among, getting slighter racial scroll, till they all become a blur, expecting them to chorus up. That sort of time, stretching sense to make a rhyme, struggling to complete a line. Religions and preachers are dead as their gods. Occultism is maybe worse. I wonder sometimes which came first, across the mystic or the past. To them too, presumably they don't know you, that's why they do the job they do. We'll be right back.
That was Turning Brown and Torn in Two by the Tall Dwarfs there. And as you, Michael, the Greenhouse, hope you enjoyed that one. And we're going to now, on the Over the Fringe show, start talking about the avian influenza or bird flu. And we'll start, because it has been detected in Aotearoa for the first time. And we'll start with a little bit of history about the bird flu. In 1878, in northern Italy, a veterinarian, Eduardo Aponcito, observed the problem. A contagious respiratory disease was spreading among poultry with a high fatality rate. At the time, it was called fowl cholera, and it was caused by the bacterium Pastorella multicida, and was commonly believed the culprit of the disease. But as other investigators studied the findings throughout the 1900s, they determined the disease was actually caused by a virus. Small enough to pass through a filter, which was later determined to be a highly pathogenic avian influenza, HPAI, and this was officially renamed as such in 1981. It spread throughout the globe, continued to spread throughout the globe in the 1920s, with sporadic outbreaks occurring in the US and all sorts of other places as well. And the UK, in 1996, the UK was heavily impacted by the virus, while only one outbreak was known to have occurred in all of Asia at the time. 1996, there's a new strain of HPAI, subtype H5N1, was introduced to poultry via migratory waterfowl in the Guangdong province of China, resulting in a mortality of greater than 40% of aquatic birds. Subsequent reassortment events between HPAI and low pathogenic avian influenza strains, LPAI, led to an HPAI strain, which was disastrous in Hong Kong, resulting in the culling of the entire poultry population in Hong Kong. Far out. There was 18 human infections and 6 human deaths, and this is the first time a lethal case of HPAI in humans had been documented. Human infection with HPAI was previously believed to be improbable. However, after the HPAI outbreak in Hong Kong in 1997, things remained quiet to 2003, when 2 humans were diagnosed with HPAI H5NI after returning from China. From 2003 to 2018, human cases reported from 16 countries, resulting, it says here hundreds of deaths, but there's been a few hundred, but not too many, really, in the whole scheme of things. So there's a bit of an early history of it, and we'll come back with some news a bit closer to home after this one about the avian influenza. I'll come back with that after this one by called The Theory of Continual Disappointment by the Able Tasmans. Tasman's there with their song, The Theory of Continual Disappointment. Now I'm going to read from you a report from Biosecurity New Zealand, which is under the Ministry for Primary Industries, of course, about a strain of bird flu H7N6 discovered in Otago a couple of days ago in here in Aotearoa, of course, and movement controls in place after a strain of avian influenza detected. Biosecurity New Zealand has placed strict movement controls on a commercial free-range egg farm in a remote part of rural Otago. The farm managed by Mainland Poultry, and the controls came after testing a high pathogenic strain of avian influenza H796 in chickens on the farm. And it's not the H5N1 strain circulating in wildlife around the world at the moment, but they say they're taking the fine seriously. The biosecurity controls restrict the movement both on and off farm with birds, poultry product feed and equipment. They're closely working with Mainland Poultry, which increased biosecurity measures on farm. Two sheds were locked down, and they're taking samples from birds and other sheds. So this is when it was first breaking out. The incubation period for the virus is usually 3 to 14 days with a possibility of up to 21 days. So testing will continue over the next 2 to 3 weeks. There have been no reports of other ill or dead birds on other poultry farms to date. And that was yesterday, and the risk to human health remains low, and there are no concerns for food safety. It is safe to consume thoroughly cooked egg, eggs and poultry products. So that was from yesterday. And today, Biosecurity New Zealand has taken further action today to stamp out a high pathogenic strain of avian influenza H796 detected on a commercial egg farm in rural Otago. Work started this very morning to humanely cull chickens in two sheds on a farm managed by Mainland Poultry, like we were just talking about. Placed a precautionary restricted place notice on a small free-range farm near Dunedin, stopping the movement of material on and off the property. As is normal in biosecurity responses, we always investigate where illnesses are identified. The property has around 6,000 birds with a number of deaths, and testing is underway. The cull is expected to take 2 or 3 days with the existing industry standard practice of CO2 containerized gas, which farms really use to euthanize chickens, Mr. Anderson says. They're all going to a secure landfill down Southland and supposed to put it well away from public access. So this is all today. There's a 10K buffer zone around the farm. It was an egg farm. And they're now be referred to as an enhanced surveillance zone. So there you go. And Biosecurity NZ will be increasing its presence on the ground in Otago and has set up a regional control centre today to manage the situation. Over 100 staff across NPI, including frontline biosecurity, trade and market access, vets, ag, communications, food safety, are contributing to the response. And this number is increasing daily as required, both on the ground in Otago and in our operations centre. So that was today from the Ministry of Primary Industries, Biosecurity New Zealand. So I'll come back with some other news about this outbreak and what it may mean at this stage. After the song here by Parky Cool, it's called Black and White. Parky Courts there with Black and White. And now I'm going to bring you some more news about the avian influenza. And, of course, it was in Australia not so long ago. And, yeah, it was tested positive, and 80,000 chickens, of course, had to be culled, unfortunately, from the Otago farm. And Australia's, they've had to destroy more than 2 million chickens on more than a dozen farms since the latest outbreak in May this year, so not a couple of months ago. There was a full lockdown, 10Ks around the farms, and then went into the permit system, so they had to apply for permits to do anything. We've just come out of restrictions in the last 6 to 8 weeks, and we're just starting to place commercial hens now. It was a long process getting the farms clean and making sure our neighbouring properties were all clean. The government ran quite a strict quarantine period to get us back to where we needed to be. He said that we then placed a test bird on central bird, as they call them, and they are in for another 35-odd days, and they tested them weekly for any disease, and once they clear positive, they remove the quarantine notice. He said the next step was replacing birds, which could be very difficult, especially when other affected farms also needed new stock. Yeah, I could see that being a problem. And Mr. McAuliffe, who's the farmer who was saying all this stuff, said, "I think New Zealand is in the same position as Australia. It is very hard to source a high volume of day-old chickens in a commercial market. Obviously, with so many birds being affected in Australia, everyone was chasing those day-old chickens, and the parent hens couldn't quite make quick enough. It's quite a struggle, and it's going to take us another 6 to 8 months to get back to our previous numbers." And, yes, so that's kind of what happened in Australia. It may happen here, may not, of course. It depends how quickly they sort of get on top of this. And I'll come back with some more after this song here by The Clean, called Anything Can Happen. Anything Could Happen by The Clean there. And I'll read you some more information about the avian influenza or bird flu kind of outbreak in Otago and what does it mean for Aotearoa at this stage. And it's going to potentially affect the Otago region, but at this stage doesn't look to be a significant threat to the rest of the New Zealand economy at the moment. Infometrics principal economist Brad Olson said, although the number of chickens that had to be culled doubled to 80,000, and exports have been halted, and something else has happened, the sector was not a key driver of New Zealand exports. And the fact that the strains come through is undoubtedly bad news, but it could have been worse, he said. It's not the prevalent strain everyone's worried about more widely globally. He says, at a time we've been hoping to see better outcomes generally across the primary sector, these challenges do put us more on a bit of a back foot. You know, like, it's pretty obvious. The fact that it was identified, he adds, and addressed quickly with a plan to eradicate it should increase confidence in New Zealand exports. And yes, MPI have been kind of looking out for this and making preparations the last few months to deal with it when it did turn up. And he said, New Zealand's biosecurity and food safety systems were highly regarded. I don't think this bird flu outbreak should change that. It is limited at this stage. And the poultry flock in New Zealand, there's more than 25 million chickens commercially in the country. And it's not huge, but what we also highlighted last year was we had a big concern around egg production, how eggs skyrocketed in price. Yes, they did. Might not be a big national trend, but there's potential for it to have a slightly more localised regional economic trend. There's potential for more direct economic concern in Otago. Yeah, we'll see how that one plays out, I guess. And, of course, New Zealand, of course, has had this experience with the MBOVIS eradication program that MPI went about in Biosecurity NZ. It was a fairly substantial program and a larger industry that did not have a clear impact on national economic figures, he says. Yeah, and it was reasonably successful. They thought they got rid of it and it kept popping up once or twice, but I haven't heard or seen anything about that for a while. So, yeah, they've done, you know, after a while, they did a fairly good job of that. So, I think, well, I hope that we shall be right here in Aotearoa as far as this one goes. They seem to be onto it and organised, so this is a good thing. All right, I'll come back after this one. Bye. Headlight a hole called Crying Shame. Thank you. It was Crying Chain there, boy, Head Like a Hole. And that's it for the show today. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you look after yourselves and each other out there for the next week. I will be back next week. Got a few guests lined up, so I'm looking forward to bringing them to you. Yeah, and we'll be covering more things as time goes by. So look after yourselves out there, folks, and each other. And ka kite, and here goes. I'll go with this one by the D4 called Saki Bomb. See you next week, folks.